Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos ProBlock Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales selectos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
What's trending?
What's trending brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending, Chiefs-Bills, Sunday afternoon, 3:25 kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. The latest line has the Chiefs as 1.5-point favorites.
Come down a little.
The total sitting at 52.5. Andy Reid will speak at 1 o'clock. We'll find out a little bit more on the injury front, although I think we have a good idea. Isaiah Pacheco didn't practice again. He's not going to play on Sunday with that knee sprain. Trey Smith seems to be all good,
on
the right track to be able to play. Hollywood Brown was sick earlier in the week for one day. He was right back at practice. So I think they're pretty good on that front, but we'll find out if there's any updates there. We're going to check in on the Buffalo side of things at 1 o'clock today. Mike Shope from our sister station WGR 550 in Buffalo, who we've gotten to know over the years, will join us to give us some insight on how healthy are they as well.
Andy Reid talks at 1 o'clock today. Do you think he'll be as anti-Halloween as one Matt LaFleur was?
I don't think he'll go to that extreme. I don't think he'll flat out say, I don't give a bleep about Halloween like Matt LaFleur did.
But football games.
He'll probably just say, yeah, you know, the guys love it. And that'll be something like that. It'll be more of that.
Yeah, exactly. Next up on What's Trending, World Series Game 6 tonight. In Toronto, they got a 3-2 lead to the Blue Jays. Pitching matchup in favor of the Dodgers. They are favorites to win the game tonight. We'll see whether or not this thing gets a Game 7. Game 7's in sports, Gold. Doesn't get much better than that. You know that. NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. Let's hope, honestly, if you just want a Game 7 for a Dodgers win. It's not like I have a rooting interest between Blue Jays and Dodgers. I just want a good series with big-time moments.
America, Cody. I'm rooting for the Dodgers.
America.
Let's go.
Oh, you're saying I'm anti-America, I'm rooting
That's
for the
right.
Blue Jays?
Yeah. Yep, you're rooting for Canadian team. I'm going with the Dodgers, baby. I also want the Dodgers to force a Game 7 and win tonight. Give me my Ohtani MVP bet. After we talked about it yesterday at plus 250.
You placed it?
Yeah, I did. So I need a Game 7. Elsewhere on What's Trending, local college football, KU hosting Oklahoma State. It is homecoming. The Jayhawks trying to bounce back after that embarrassing performance last week against Kansas State. K-State is against Texas Tech, a big opportunity for them. Missouri is on a bye week. That's what's going on in the local college football front.
Should be an interesting weekend. They're obviously disappointed that doesn't feel like any of the teams are going to make the college football playoff this year, but Missouri still's got the best chance, so I guess see whether or not they can get a win in a couple of weeks. Next up on What's Trending, the KC Current regular season finale this Sunday over at CPKC Stadium. They will host a quarterfinal match next weekend when the playoffs get underway. Remember, they were the number one seed.
They have clinched
the number one seed forever ago. They are the most dominant team in NWSL history. Goals scored, record, how early they clinched it. This might be the single best team in that league's history. See if they're able to complete that by winning the title this year. It is a cool giveaway on Sunday for what it's worth. They're giving away a 10-way bobblehead for the first 5,000 fans. I mean, that stadium only holds about 7,000 or 8,000. So, right? Then around there?
11,000.
So about the first half of people who get through there. Alex and I were lucky enough to both have sent one. They're very sweet. I posted one on social media yesterday if you want to see it. Very, very cool bobblehead.
Lastly on What's Trending, just some injury notes around sports. Travis Hunter was placed on the IR, the Jags' talented rookie, who was just starting to kind of get in a rhythm, get going. He now lands on the IR, so the Jags lose one of their top playmaking weapons. Also, Arizona State quarterback Sam Leavitt is going to have surgery done for the year. Huge blow for the Sun Devils there.
Interesting mix-up for the Big 12, I'll say.
Yes.
Can't say
yes.
That, you know, whether you thought Arizona State was going to come through that, I would certainly think your answer to that is no now.
That is What's Trending. We'll get to some golden locks, including how we're doing in our Circa Million. We'll update you on last week, which
tough
was
week.
Not our best work as a group for our Circa entry. We'll get to that in a little bit. And again, Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated will join us in 25 minutes. I talked to him in the locker room on, what was that, Sunday? Yeah, Sunday night? Whatever that, or Monday night, sorry.
Yeah.
When the Commanders were in town. He was in town covering that game, so we'll get a national perspective on what he makes of the Chiefs and, of course, the Bills and elsewhere in the NFL. Does he think Mike McDaniel and Tua, will that relationship continue beyond this year? We know now there's reports that Mike McDaniel will not be fired in the regular season and that he will at least have a chance to finish out this year. So we'll talk to Matt about that. But I want to get back into the Chiefs, and we know this current stretch of dominance the last month of offense. Defense has been dominant, including the shutout of the Las Vegas Raiders a couple weeks ago, what they did to the Lions the week before that. And one thing we haven't seen yet is, as long as they've been playing this well, coincidentally, the games have been happening at home. They've been at Arrowhead. And so does this offense and defensive dominance travel? We're going to get our answer over the next 2 weeks. One, Sunday in Buffalo, then the bye week, then they go to Denver. And Denver, we all know what they're capable of defensively. And so we haven't really seen them just play at a fully dominant level yet this season out of Arrowhead, because when they were in Brazil, they weren't right. Heck, even the Giants game, they weren't right until the second half, and even then it was just kind of, it was ugly. It was still an ugly win.
But then after the second half, it was kind of a
Jacksonville's
half.
The one where you say, hey, it looked like they had everything rolling, but still 13 penalties was not a level of dominance. The pick six, special teams errors. So really, they have not had the full complete game stuff since they've been, you know, when they've been on the road. And so we're going to see it for the first time, hopefully, on Sunday.
I think it's less about home and road. And statistically, and I think someone had sent me something on Twitter, and we talked about it a little bit on the show maybe last week, but statistically, Patrick Mahomes is actually better on the road than he is at home, right? So, like, he has more yards per game, a better touchdown-to-interception ratio. Those things tend to be a little bit better for Patrick Mahomes on the road than they are even on the road. I think it's less about the fact that they were on the road gold and more about just where they were as a team. They weren't a team yet in Los Angeles when they were on the road. They were still fighting through some stuff in New York and at Jacksonville. So to your point of, do we really know that they're going to just be better on the road too? No. But I also think their problems weren't road-related. I feel like their problems were they're waiting on Rashee Rice to come back.
Yep.
Xavier Worthy got hurt. They were still trying to figure out some stuff on defense, which they've now since figured out. Even if they do still have flaws or problems in there, they're not some perfect defensive team either. There are certainly some problems there or issues that could arise. But no, I do think that there's a part that will travel to this team. I don't fear it overall.
Well, this is not even a Mahomes thing, because a couple years ago in the playoffs, my goodness, we saw them roll through the entire road slate of the postseason and on their way towards the Super Bowl. So that's not even what I mean by it. I just think it's interesting that we have not seen
they played at home,
this
home,
complete
home.
Game when the Chiefs look like their dominant Super Bowl favorite self again on the road yet. And, if by the way, if it continues on Sunday, then there's no chance they're losing this game. You know, I told you, I think if the Chiefs can get to 28 points on Sunday, then I think they get it done against the Buffalo Bills. I appreciate you. Listen, thank you. If they get it done on Sunday offensively, then they'll be just fine, because I think that's the only question. The Bills, to me, defense is not any good, so I feel confident there. Well, okay, I think the Chiefs will be able to keep the Bills to a level that allows Kansas City to win by a decent margin, you know, where the Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites. I think they cover in this game on Sunday afternoon. Do you think it's going to be close? Like, what do you think the actual game script is kind of like?
So I think the Bills are very similar to last year's Chiefs, as in they are slow and methodical, but they can still move the football. They got Josh Allen. His legs are a problem. He can create plays. And so I'm just here to tell you that I think that they are more in line with how the Chiefs scored last year. They do not get a lot of yards per play. They do not get a ton of explosive plays. They love to hold the ball, take their time, drag this thing out, limit possessions. So if you're asking me for the Bills win, I think it looks like that. I think the Chiefs are going to try to up-tempo it a little bit because they finally are in a position, and it hasn't been that way in any Chiefs-Bills games in a few years, except for the postseason, not in a regular season game, where we're going shot for shot. I think the Chiefs are willing to go shot for shot in this game, Gold, and so I think their game script is going to be up-tempo, move the ball, big pass plays, limiting the rushing attack early. I think they hope they can lean on the run later in the game is my guess. I also think they're going to blitz Josh Allen early versus they have been sitting back on quarterbacks and waiting for the second half. I kind of think they're going to get after Josh Allen quick.
One thing that we know Buffalo loves to do is utilize the clock, long sustained drives.
Yep.
Josh Allen is able to have a third down and extend the drive with his legs, even on a fourth down, extend the drive with his legs. That's the one thing that they, that I will say that they can do that the Chiefs opponents during this recent stretch haven't. Not just because the Chiefs defense was dominant, but and that is have these long, long sustained drives. Detroit did it on the opening drive of the game, and that was really it. But we have not seen the Chiefs face a team where I think Josh Allen and as a unit, they are offensively capable of, they get the ball to start, let's say. They can go and have a nine-minute, I'm serious, like even a nine-minute long drive, multiple fourth down conversions, grind it out, keep Mahomes on the sideline. They're the team that I think has done it before
And
can do that. That's the one difference I'll give them compared to everybody else on their schedule.
I think they will do anything to try to get James Cook going early because we don't know what the Chiefs' defense is. If someone is running the ball successfully and running the ball successfully, Gold, early, I think they will use James Cook in the running game. I think they will test him against Nick Bolton. I think James Cook in the first two drives might get 10 touches for the Bills. I don't even think they're going to bother figuring out if they can just, like, expose Shakir or Keon Coleman because they don't have a ton of great weapons. Or Dalton Kincaid where they used to struggle against tight ends. I think it is going to be the James Cook show early. And that will be a very bad sign for Buffalo, Gold, is if we get part of the way through this first quarter, second quarter, and they're trying, and that's not clicking yet, and they have to just turn it over to the pass game, even if it's working early. In the long term for them, over the course of the game, I don't think that that's a good plan.
See, I wonder, though, Cody, I think Buffalo, out of the gate, part of their script, and I actually think they're going to – I think – let's say the first eight plays. My guess is six of them are passes. I actually think they're going to do the opposite.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I think
you think they're going to.
I don't think
and use that.
I think they will come out throwing, not running the football, and try to eventually get into James Cook. I know normally you're like, no, James Cook, make set up the play action. I think Kansas City has shown that you're not going to run on them, and so how do you run on them? I think it's if you're all of a sudden having a lot of success in the passing. I think it's the reverse. I could be way off on that. That's backwards of normally how it goes. I'm not worried about the Chiefs shutting down Cook on the ground. I told you my biggest fear other than Josh Allen would be James Cook open in the flat all day long. You're asking Nick Bolton and Drew Tranquil to go up and make tackles. Now, this team has been very good at tackles, not a lot of misses so far. But that would be my worry. Dump off in the flat James Cook, and he's adding an extra 8 to 10 yards on a reception consistently.
It's so, where the toughest players are to evaluate? Like, genuinely, the toughest players to evaluate on any team you like. Gold. This is across sports even, which is a player in which we know their strengths and we know their weaknesses, but we get frustrated by their weaknesses. Nick Bolton has trouble in pass coverage. And like rather than just be upset about it, it's like I just want the Chiefs to try to make sure to not let him be on James Cook all day. Because I'm not mad at truth is? I'm not mad every time Nick Bolton blows a pass coverage snap. I know that to be one of the flaws in his game. I know all the things he's great at and all the things he does well. So, like, I will just know that those are the things he does well. My whole thing is, can you – and I know that they're doing the same thing. You're trying to keep Nick Bolton off James Cook. They're trying to get James Cook on Nick Bolton. Look, last week, Rashee Rice ended up on the linebacker for Washington, Bobby Wagner. I don't think that Washington wants to do that most snaps, Gold. I don't think their dream scenario is Bobby Wagner.
I mean, it happens every game for every team. I mean, the amazing touchdown catch from Terry McLaurin, the only touchdown that they had, where you remember he tapped his feet. It was a great catch.
I think Shamari Connor and
Nick Bolton, I thought.
Nick Bolton, yeah.
So look, Matt, that's how these guys, they're paid to create mismatches and put defenses in bad spots. But my thing is more the first 15 for Buffalo. If the Chiefs can limit them on the first 15, then Buffalo's in big trouble, because I know and trust that Spags will make those adjustments. It's the first 15. You better get them, because you're not going to get them a little bit later on. We'll talk to Matt Verderam in 15 minutes from Sports Illustrated, get his perspective on this game. Also, don't forget, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long. Kick it off, of course, with this Week 9 matchup between the Chiefs and Bills. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, let's get to it. We got to check in on some Golden Locks.
Just because you love something doesn't mean you're good at it. But Alex Gold and betting on sports?
Pretty good.
It's time for Golden Locks.
All right, let's get to them. Of course, Golden Locks on the show, brought to you by our friends over at Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be is coming soon to Missouri with Circa Sports. That's December 1st, by the way. All right, let's start with Circa Million, our contest that you, me, yeah, Dusty, Rob, Bink, Speck are all part of. 2-3 last week.
Still top 250.
We moved down on our chart. We're now tied for 230-something out of 5,800.
Top 5%.
So we need to get going. Here's what happened, honestly. Last week, guys, it was all about favorites in the NFL. Favorites went 11-2 against the spread. 84% of favorites covered last week. That was the best win percentage for favorites in a single week since 1985, when the Royals won the World Series. Since week 6, favorites are 33-10, so 76% or so straight up, 69% straight up, the best win percentage for favorites through 8 weeks.
It's been a tough couple of weeks in the teams. It's been a blowout the last couple of weeks. There's been a lot of blowouts.
So where are we at this week? Here are a couple that we might use for our Circa entry. This is going right back to the same scenario from last week that did not work. That was, remember when the Niners were getting a point and a half at Houston?
Yeah.
And Houston won outright.
Yes.
And covered easily. Denver, 1.5-point dogs at Houston. No Pat Surtain. It doesn't smell right. Doesn't smell right, and I know you're saying, well, see, last week. No, I'm going back.
Denver, you're right back.
Denver plus 1.5 at Houston.
It was a good idea last week. It's a good idea this week.
Denver
is that the idea?
Plus 1.5 at Houston. I still don't buy into C.J. Stroud and the Texans' offensive line and the offense. I like Denver to go on the road and cover and win that one outright. And then New England, minus 5.5 against Atlanta, involving the Falcons again. They looked terrible a week ago. Kirk Cousins was playing. Penix is back. They didn't run the ball. Defense struggled. Terrible game plan. You know I'm a believer in New England and in Drake May. I like them in this spot, even though they got to cover the 5.5 and win by 6 or more.
Can I ask a question about, do you have it pulled up right now? What are the Colts against the spread this year? And why haven't we just been sticking with them forever at this point? Because every week I'm like, I'll choose the team against the Colts. I'm like, well, that's crazy. The Colts are obviously going to stick this thing out.
The Colts
out
are 6-2 against the spread, Cody.
Yeah, that's not surprising to me.
The Patriots also 6-2. The Rams 5-2. Seattle 5-2. Detroit 5-2 against the spread.
Like, the way I look at the Colts is, it feels like every week I should be thinking, oh, here comes another team to get in their way, and maybe we're inside of this. And at the same time, I have to learn the valuable lesson that is, no, that's just not the case. And so I just don't think that's the case. What else do you like this weekend? Do you got anybody?
Well,
any props?
This is the first time. Well, I do, but this is the first time this year for this segment, for our Circa picks, that I want us to use Kansas City.
Wow.
The Chiefs are minus 2.5 at Circa. So it is 3 instead of 1.5. And the Chiefs are 5-3 against the spread. They're back to covering. You know, that was for years. Like, they don't cover, they win. They don't cover. They're back to covering.
And so, all those covers are probably in the last month.
Yes, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I like Kansas City, minus 1.5. That's what I like. Prop bet-wise, I like James Cook, 2 or more touchdowns for the Bills, though, even though the Chiefs win.
So you think they win, but that he still finds a way into
game.
The end zone multiple times?
Yep. Odds, depending on where you look. What odds can we get on that over at FanDuel? Let me see to get you the latest number, actually, on that. Chiefs, Bills. James Cook's minus 135 to score one touchdown, but obviously I'm talking about him scoring two. It looks like that might be 8-1.
I don't know what the if you were to change the odds on the Circa thing. They did just officially rule out Ramondre Stevenson for the Patriots this Sunday, so he officially
so
won't
the
be
rook.
In that game.
The Rook.
It will be Travion Henderson, who certainly feels like he could Wally Pipp that job, Gold. if he does a nice job on Sunday for the Patriots.
I like that for fantasy purposes.
Do you have Stevenson?
I do, Cody. As a matter of fact, I do. Not good for me.
Well, if you had the other, you'd like it, you know?
Yeah. I do have Travion in another one. Okay. All right. We'll make that work. Those are some golden locks. College football, Drew, do you have a better two you like? Here are the two that I like. I'm curious to get your perspective on it. I like Houston minus 13.5 against West Virginia. Willie Fritz doing a great job there for the Cougs. And then Cincinnati, it's up to 10.5. I had it earlier in the week. I liked it at 9.5. Cincinnati, that would be the Bearcats, college football, plus 10.5 at Utah, out west.
They might win the Big 12.
Where are you
Cincinnati.
At, Drew?
Cincinnati's really
college?
Interesting. I think USC and Nebraska is an interesting one. I think USC covers 4.5. Also, Oklahoma is 2.5-point dogs on the road against Tennessee. They were embarrassed defensively. They're very good on defense. They're going to bounce back, and I think they cover that 2.5. But Cincy's interesting because it popped up on College Football Live. They're giving up only 19 points per game, but they give up 368 yards a game. They give up almost as much as they gain. Utah's defense is very, very good. So I think Cincy probably covers at 10.5, but I think Utah definitely wins the game. Plus, it's one of the underrated places to play in all of college football.
True. 10.5, just for a team like Cincy, to me, where they have a quarterback that's legit top 10 in Heisman right now, top seven, I think, actually, in Heisman.
Sorsby?
I'm getting 10.5.
Is this a particularly open year for the Heisman, or does it just feel that way?
Well, from what the names early in the season, it's different. But
it's
right now,
narrowing
like,
a lot more now.
It has narrowed down. Like Ty Simpson is along with Mendoza, the two guys at the top of the odds charts.
Right now, I see.
Yeah, go ahead.
Depending on aggregate, because obviously the odds are different depending on the place. Fernando Mendoza is the leader. Ty Simpson, pretty much co-favorite. Julian Sayin.
Ohio State. Okay.
Marcel Reed and Diego Pavia are the only ones that are under 10-1.
Yeah, after that, Gunnar Stockton. So it really does feel like it's narrowed down to those five, if we're being generous. I think potentially it's more like four. But if Pavia keeps winning at Vandy, he's going to move up. You know my feeling on Ty Simpson. Big fan of his. Big fan of Alabama. Has run with him here recently. I'm all in on the Ty Simpson. He's the favorite right now to be the number one overall pick in the draft. Now, I will admit, I don't think that's going to happen, but I love it. I do love that for those that were doubting Ty Simpson weeks ago when they were playing the Missouri Tigers.
I will say, like, it was just Kalen DeBoer. They were, like, 2 weeks into the season. They were like, do we need to fire this guy? Do we just need to start
Drew
over?
Drew was right on DeBoer. I will say that.
He said give it time.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of a crazy overreaction just to – because we've seen, I mean, what else has kind of gone
it's
on.
It's Alabama football, you know?
Yeah, I know. but I think one guy, if you want value, I think 30-1, yeah. At least what I'm seeing on FanDuel, Haynes King is sneaky, or Trinidad Chambliss, one of those two guys potentially. Obviously, with Georgia Tech and Ole Miss where they're at, if they keep winning, then all of a sudden maybe they get – into that mix of players. But from a stat perspective and everything like that, what the Heisman is, it doesn't feel like those guys – it feels like those guys are long shots for a reason.
That's exactly
point.
They're down at 30-1 for a reason, and it's also getting a little late in the year that I think someone that's that far back can turn it around. And I know, look, the odds do not dictate who's going to win the Heisman. Like, just because someone's not a favorite right now doesn't mean they can't win, but – you know, they're pretty darn good at what they do when they set these odds markets. And we're far enough in the season that I just don't think somebody that far down the board can win it. Those are some golden locks heading into the weekend. Up next, Matt Verneram from Sports Illustrated going to call in. We'll get a national perspective on the NFL and also Chiefs-Bills as we continue broadcasting live from Community America Credit Union out in Blue Springs. We're off I-70 and Outer Road. The tailgate goes for another 35 minutes or so. Free food still out here with some Hawaiian food. The big ATM, a chance to win some Chiefs-Colts tickets. Casey Wolf out here as well, right here, 96.5.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. and you really have to know him to break him.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Back here on a Red Friday, it's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you, Drew Nixon producing the show. We are live in Blue Springs at Community America Credit Union. Another great Red Friday tailgate. We're at the branch off of I-70, South Outer Road. The tailgate goes for another half hour here. Still a chance to win some Chiefs Colts tickets with the Community America Big ATM. Also got a great food truck. I need to go grab some of that Hawaiian food here in the next couple of minutes.
Same.
As well. Need to do that. Casey Wolf, Chiefs and, Rumble, all out here.
And it's been great running into so many listeners here. A younger girl came up and said, my dad listens every day. I was like, well, you could listen too.
Shout out to Tim.
Yeah, you know what? Shout out, Tim. He's out here he's driving around, to our understanding. So we appreciate him and anybody else who was able to make it out today. We get to do these a couple times a year. I think this is the last one this year, but they're always a great time. We appreciate Community America having us out.
All right, let's talk about week 9 of the NFL season here with Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. Matt was in Kansas City on Monday night, saw him in the Chiefs locker room there. He was covering the game. And, Matt, I want to just start with the Chiefs, then we can get into some of these other teams in the NFL. You've seen them a couple times in person this year. We all know the run that they're currently on. When you watch them, at this point, is there anybody playing better football outside of Indianapolis than Kansas City?
No, they're the best team in the NFL. I mean, right now, look, I was doing some research. I was writing my Friday column, kind of previewing some of the best games of the week. And in the last 4 wins the Chiefs have had, if you strip out when the backups have been on the field, and they have one drive against Baltimore, the Chiefs starters are on the field, they're up by 24 points, 2 minutes left. You strip out these garbage time drives, the Chiefs have had 27 drives in those 4 games. They've punted once. Like, they're just a machine. I mean, they are beating teams in a way that you normally beat a team like that once or twice a year. They've already done it 4 times, and I'm halfway through the season. And some of those teams have been good teams. Some of those teams have been Baltimore. They've been Detroit. You know, the Raiders are not a good team, but to hold the team to 3 first downs is ridiculous. You know, as you mentioned, I was there Monday night for SI covering that game. That game was 7-7 at halftime. The game was over, like, I don't know, 12 minutes into the third quarter. Like, it's right now, there's nobody playing football on their level. They're top 7 in points for, points against, yards for. I mean, nobody else is close in that metric.
They are scoring on 35% touchdowns on 35% of their drives right now. It is their highest, Matt, since 2018. Like we were talking on the show, I think that by the end of the year, and we could probably just agree to it blindly now if we didn't want to see the evidence, but I'm pretty sure that this is the best offense since that offense.
Yes, I would agree. I would really argue right now that in the last, you know, call it, let's say, 5 weeks, this is the best they've ever played in this era. I don't know. And look, you could certainly go back and say, well, 2018, they had a great offense, but the defense was terrible.
Yeah.
2019, they started out 6-4. You know, Mahomes got hurt, and the defense kind of rounded into form. The only other time, the only other stretch of football where I think you could look at and say that year, there were some stretches in 2020 where they just annihilated teams week in and week out. But this team, you know, that as good as that 2020 team was, they didn't have the defense this team has. Where you look at them defensively at times, you go, but then you look at the numbers, and it's like the top five in everything. Like they're just they're done.
Yards per play, yards per game, all of it, right, man?
They're tough in everything. Defensively, the one number maybe you'd like to see is their pressure rate go up a little bit. But beyond that, there's really not much to point to. And I just think like this last 5 weeks, yes, they lost a game to Jacksonville. They had no business losing. They gave the game away. You look at these games and see most of these games are just they're comical. These games are over halftime. These games are blowouts, no matter who they're playing, where they're playing. And now they go play a Bills team that, listen, has typically been a very good team. The Bills are not a very good team right now. They're good. They have a great quarterback. But there's a reason the Chiefs are road favorites in this game.
It feels like this Bills defense is the worst in this rivalry the Chiefs and Bills have had, right? In other years, you would say, they're still a top 10 defense or something. They're nowhere near that.
They're not. And it's weird because if you look at them statistically on defense, they're not terrible, but that's also because they've played nobody all year long. I guess it's been like Andy Dalton and Spencer Rattler, Tua, and the Jets, and on and on and on. Like even Michael Penix. It's when you watch them week in and week out. I've watched every snap of the Bills this year, every single one of them. Like they have huge gaps in their coverage. They're a disaster against the run. I believe they're 31st in the league yards per attempt against like 5.5. They don't get a lot of pressure. Now they're without Ed Oliver, who is the best defender they had all year, and Shaq Thompson's going to miss this game, who arguably has been their best flash play linebacker this season. Like this is a team that I was asked the other day, like if you were the Bills, how would you defend Kansas City in this game? And I thought about it during the interview, and then I thought about it afterward. I got to be honest, I don't know that there's an answer. Like if I'm the Bills, I would probably just play an umbrella shell coverage. And hope the Chiefs beat them. So hopefully they drop a pass, they take a penalty, they bog down in the red zone. And that's the other part of this. Like, not only are the Chiefs moving the ball at a crazy clip, the Chiefs in the red zone over the last, I think it's five games, are 25 of 30 in the red zone. I mean, that's impossible to do that. It's just, or I think 20 and 25. They're 20 and 25, they're 80%. They are, when they're getting down there, they're scoring. I think that's the game. If the Bills have any shot in this game, they're just going to have to win in the red zone. If they can't, they're going to lose.
I guess some of it is just like, I wonder if, like, you're talking about in this way. Obviously, we've talked about, like, the national affiliation. Is this how everyone nationally is talking about the Chiefs at this point? I feel like we all just collectively woke up one day and was like, oops, slept on the Chiefs and Rashee Rice is back, and now everyone's in big trouble.
I think it kind of happened. Like, the Baltimore game was a little bit of a wake-up because but let's also be honest. That game kind of came out of nowhere with them. They were awful the first 3 weeks of the year offensively. And then they got Worthy back. I think everybody thought they'd be like a little bit of a shot in the arm, but it's just, okay, they scored 37. But they're like, all right, well, Baltimore's defense has been terrible. What does it mean? And then even though they lost to Jacksonville, they hung 476 yards on them. So that's interesting. I think it was the Lions game. Like, very few teams blow the Lions out. And after the Chiefs got down 10-6, it was almost like they just got together and were like, all right, this game's done now. And then just crushed them the rest of the game. And like, to me, what's lost in this, everybody is talking about the offense, and rightfully so. Mahomes is the MVP of the league right now. They're scoring a million points. It's the defense. Like, they didn't give up 100 yards rushing to the Lions. You know, they played, the Raiders, I don't care who you are, 95 yards and 3 first downs. That's impossible to do that. And then this past week, to Washington's credit, first half of the game they moved the ball, but the Chiefs made a couple plays to keep off the board. Second half of the game, Washington did nothing. I think until the last drive of the game, they had like 24 yards of offense in the second half. So it's that. Like going into this game, that's the thing. If the Bills can't match them, if the Chiefs have 2 drives in a row defensively where they play well, the game's over. Like, it snowballs so quickly with this team, and that's something we haven't seen with the Chiefs in a while.
We're talking to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated with us here on 96.5 The Fan. The trade deadline is on Tuesday. What are you hearing potentially, whether it's the Chiefs or any other team, with some of the names that have been floating out there? Is this going to be like it typically is, which is everybody throws out big names, and then come Tuesday we're all disappointed that only like two or three trades happen?
Yeah, look, I think there's going to be a bunch of smaller trades. You know, you talk to people around the league. I've asked some people in different personnel departments. I think, hey, look, you never know with this stuff because sometimes all it takes is one call. But I think there's kind of a thought of, look, you're going to see what you usually see, rentals, you know, late-round picks, maybe a couple late-round pick swaps. I think most people believe that the Dolphins are open for business, the Saints are open for business, the Browns might be a team that is willing to trade off some guys. For Kansas City, I think the general belief is to watch along the D-line. Obviously, they added Mike Pinnell. But do they add another pass rusher? A couple of names I'd watch are the Chiefs. Calais Campbell, he, despite the fact that he's 39 years old, is still playing very well. He's got three sacks, nine quarterback hits. The other guy who's a really interesting one is actually a Kansas City native in Malik Collins. He signed this year and next year. He's in Cleveland. But his cap hits, if the Chiefs were to acquire him, or anybody to acquire him, are under $1 million this year, and the next year it's like 1.3.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's playing at a really high level. He's having a great year. He'd probably cost a little more than a guy like Campbell because he is signed for next year. He might feel more like a fourth or fifth round pick. But he's a really interesting player, especially for the Chiefs, because he's from the area and because he signed for next season at a cheap rate. So I think those are a couple of names among others to watch.
Matt, I understand this happens every year, or at least been happening more regularly. Sam Darnold and the Vikings the year before. This happens pretty regularly, but at the same time, it is always hard to get over the, like, it's Daniel Jones in charge of the Colts.
Right.
I understand they're kicking every team's ass as well. When you watch them, why is it working? How is it working? In what way do you think it's sustainable or not? I guess at least from them, because they've got them in a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's been unbelievable, and it's working because they're running the ball so well, and the line's played really well. To be fair, the line has played really well. Taylor's terrific, and Steichen understands how to call the game. And so you combine all those things, and it's a dangerous team. Like, they're not a wildly prolific passing attack. The first couple of weeks they kind of were, but, like, really, Jones has been efficient, and look, to his credit, he's made the throws. I think the question the Colts are going to have to answer, and eventually they're going to have to answer it, what happens when they play a team that holds Taylor to, like, 50 yards rushing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens in that game? Like, I know if you're Kansas City, for example, if I were Spagnuolo, I'd be like, look, I don't care. You're not running the ball. You will not run the ball. Like, we will play man coverage, whatever. If Warren wants to have six catches for 75 yards, great. Have at it. But you got to give the Colts credit. I've seen a lot of people say, well, they played a weak schedule, and they have. They have crushed these teams. I mean, this is not, you know, winning by a field goal here. But I do think there does come a question of at some point they're going to play teams that are good enough, they're going to make Jones beat them. Like, that's the one thing so far. Most of these teams they've played can't do that. The better teams, they will play Seattle. They will play San Francisco. They do play Kansas City. Even a team like Houston with a very good defense. When those teams, to some extent, bottle up Taylor, what happens? I think that's the unanswered question with the Colts.
Elsewhere in the AFC, just what we're seeing from the Denver Broncos the last couple of weeks, they're atop the AFC West. I thought that Giants comeback is one of those wins that is so powerful for you the rest of the season when you're down in a game, just the middle edge that you now have. And I feel like it's just going to, you know, jumpstart the rest of their season. Maybe it already has with what they looked like last week.
Listen, you know one thing with Denver? They can get after your quarterback. I mean, they're on pace to set an all-time sacks record. They can do it with four. They like the blitz as well. They can overwhelm you. And that, you know, I just talked about Taylor. Like, if you can stop him with the Colts, like, what happens? I think that's the question with Denver. Like, if you can block them to a reasonable degree, especially now with Sertan out, might miss some time here at the pec strain, like, what happens? Knicks is a very hard guy to analyze because – he will literally play three quarters where he looks like he doesn't belong in the NFL.
I know.
And then have, like, a quarter where he looks like Joe Montana. And I don't know what you do with that. But the thing that I do think is a problem for Denver come playoff time, that offense is just – I know they lit Dallas up, but I'm pretty sure Vanderbilt could light Dallas up. Like, it's – I don't know what you do with that. Like, that offense feels like if they get behind in a game, it's a major problem. Like, I don't, and I know you could say, well, look at what they did with the Giants. They're not going to see the Giants in the playoffs.
Right.
I think Denver's a good team. I picked them preseason to make the playoffs. I think defensively they're excellent. But I just feel like with the offense, they're a little limited in January, where a team like Kansas City, even if Buffalo, if they can get right to any extent here, like, those teams have higher ceilings because they can just, they can overwhelm you in a way that I don't know that Denver can with that offense.
Do you think that the league's right for making Baltimore Ravens the favorite, or the betting market's right, that the Baltimore Ravens should be considered the favorite to win the North?
Yes, I do. The Bengals are not good. The Browns are, well, I mean, the Browns are who they've been for 30 years.
Yeah, we don't have to even mention the Browns in this conversation, bro.
Right, they're not a franchise. The Steelers, you always respect them from the standpoint that they always win 9-10 games. Like, they always do it. The division's going to come down to, can Pittsburgh beat the teams they ought to beat, and can they at minimum split with Baltimore? Like, because they got the two games, I believe one of them I know is week 18. I think the other one's like week 15. If Pittsburgh could even just split those games, they've got a pretty good shot. But it becomes one of these things where if Baltimore beats them twice, you got probably, I mean, Baltimore schedule's a joke. I mean, they do play Green Bay. They do play New England. But other than that, like, the hardest thing they play is Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, they're a weird team. I don't buy into them. Their defense is terrible. Although I am very curious this week against Indianapolis. The game's in Pittsburgh. They're on a two-game slide. If there is ever a game for the Steelers to just kitchen sink the thing and, hey, we have to win whatever it takes, this week is kind of it. But they're talented enough to be a threat. But, yeah, I actually do think Baltimore should be the favorite.
Is it weird that I lost a little bit of respect? Last question for Matt LaFleur for saying, I don't give an S that it's Halloween. I'm here to win football games. I feel like you're taking your job too serious, you know?
Yeah, I mean, especially Carolina coming in. It feels like you could celebrate Halloween.
Go trick or treat with your kids.
Right, like, he's got a couple of sons, right? Like, hey, like, you know, like, take 2 days off. Bryce Young's going to be playing you on Sunday. You're fine. Like, make Halloween extended holiday.
Matt, you've got a couple young kids, right? Are you you dressing up with them, or what's the plan tonight?
We did a Halloween party last week, where I dressed up as a hockey player, so I already have all the gear from all my days playing hockey, so that was easy enough. But yeah, they're going to, the little one is a ghost, and the older one's a cheerleader, and so they're living the dream. All they care about is how much candy they can possibly shovel into their pillowcases. And all I care about is when they go to bed, how much I can take from them without them.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, you're set. You're going to have plenty as well. All right, Matt, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Take care, guys.
That's Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Interesting, you know, what he said about the Colts-Steelers game this weekend. Like,
If I were the Steelers, I'd be doing everything to win it. Keep my separation.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think the Steelers are just the same Steelers team that we've seen for so many years. Except their defense is even worse this year. Like, the offense is kind of what it's been. Yeah, Rodgers is playing well, but you're not afraid of it. I think they need to go trade for a wide receiver on top of having DK Metcalf, if you want to be real.
Yeah.
And their defense is just, they got another injury in the secondary. I do think if they lose to the Colts on Sunday, the division is likely over. Thinking of the Ravens, I saw while we were talking to Matt, the NFL did just fine the Ravens $100,000 for violating the league's injury report policy. Remember, last week, Lamar was listed as a full participant on Friday, then they changed that on Saturday because he technically was a scout team participant, and so remember, he did not play last Sunday, and that's why $100,000. You think they really care that much?
They claimed it was an honest mistake, and it very well might have been. Some people thought they were going to lose draft pick compensation, which is a real risk when you break rules like that. So, not saying it's crazy, but at the same time, I think they got up pretty easy if you're the Ravens.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll go out to Buffalo, talk with Mike Shope from WGR 550. How are they viewing this game up in Buffalo, our good friend over the years from our sister station? In the meantime, let's get to it.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care, KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, you drew back in the studio. Over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Yes, we have that even on remote. Same as I'm on the chats and YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. where we can take answers to your questions over there. Fair or foul is the question today. And I'm going to go ahead and chop you off at the knees before we even start. Someone's going to be like, this sounds like something you would do, Cody.
Oh boy.
And I just want to make it clear,
oh boy.
I don't do this before asking the question. I don't think a gentleman's here anymore. But earlier on the remote, there was a guy who was trying to tell Cam where to put the weights on the tent. He was trying to instruct a little bit. He was trying to like, hey, I don't think that's tall enough. I think that might be load-bearing. My question is, when you're in a setting where you see something that you deem as being incorrect to the way you would do it, do you think it's okay to point out the way you believe it would be correct?
Are we sure the guy wasn't shooting a Progressive commercial, you know, for the dads
right,
out there?
Right. I will say
it was
this.
Some classic dad stuff.
Unless there is something that clearly is going to cause somebody to get injured and you're trying to prevent it, you know, or whatever. Otherwise, if it's just truly a preference thing, then no, you stay out of it. Now, if it's like, hey, man, trust me, I need to help you fix this. This is gonna collapse.
I would say that this was after he had said, I think you're going to need to figure out a different way to stack those koozies.
Oh, well, that's,
after one right, hit
well,
the
that's,
ground.
That's just somebody that, you know,
way foul.
Wants to to have
foul.
Control or whatever it may be, if that's the case. I was Where was I? I was not here for that interaction.
I believe so. You had gone back to the car. Maybe you'd gone to the bathroom.
Probably,
I don't know.
Probably.
You were briefly gone. He had said something to me. I wasn't going to do anything about it. I obliged with the, like, yeah, sure, take a look at that. And then Cam Baker, he's like, you're the guy who handles this. And he was ready to tell him. And Cam, to his credit, put these weights on, thus ending the conversation.
I mean, we are supposed to have weights on the tent.
Well, these are kind of behind the block sets, like the stop blocks on the parking spots. I think maybe Cam was thinking of that. Now, look, this show had to catch a moving tent one time from blowing away
true.
And trying to destroy a stadium
true.
Worker.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying if it's for real safety, as in like, hey, that loose wire could
yeah,
spark and murder somebody, maybe
sure.
do something about it, fine. But if you're saying, I don't think I would park something that way or stack something that way, just let it go.
Yeah, it's a preference thing. Again, if you're at a stoplight and you notice someone's wheel is about to fall off, you should tell them. You know, that's not a preference. That's, hey, save everybody's life here. You know, but if it's like, yeah, I just think, you know, that the way something is stacked or not color-coded the way you like, that's just a preference thing, and you just got to kind of stay
because there's,
stay
like, nothing worse than, like, especially if it's like we could both be actively doing the same thing. If I'm, like, let's say I'm making a display and I'm stacking some, like, cups or boxes or something up, the last thing I want is thoughts from the peanut gallery. As in gold, you're like, you know, you could stack them that way. Either you can stack these or you can shut up about it.
Now, someone did
it
say,
doesn't really matter to me, but those are the two choices.
Text line brings up a good point. Now, I don't know. I don't know if you do this or you have to bite your tongue. Someone says, because you bring up how you used to work in the restaurant industry all
but
the time.
But I would never say it to them.
And someone said, how long did it take until you could comfortably eat a meal out where you were critiquing the waiter because you used to be a waiter?
Okay, so There is some truth to the idea that if you've done a job, you listen to sports radio, if you listen to sports radio in another market,
yeah.
you might be, oh, what are they doing, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody has areas of expertise. They might handle those things differently. To privately criticize, I believe to be different. If I say, that looks like a weird way to do it, I wouldn't say it to their face. I wouldn't go find the general manager of the restaurant and be like, I don't think you're polishing your glasses right. Like, you just let it go. You just let it go. I think privately is one of those koozie blows off the table.
Yeah.
The other one picked up a little bit. I think privately, between you and I, Gold, we're sitting there and you'd be like, well, that's an interesting way to do it. Eh. I think that's an acceptable way. Versus, I think the other way, a little bit different. Now we got Casey Wolf throwing us a little bit of
candy,
by the way.
I like this.
This is my son's favorite piece of Halloween candy, by the way. This Hershey's Cookies and Cream. Oh, I wouldn't bang it up.
Casey,
what's
going to keep,
that one too
keep throwing candy our way now.
So, you know what? I think it's different. I wouldn't tell Casey Wolf how I think he should throw candy.
No, no.
That's his job. Oh, I don't know how many more. Oh, I dropped that one.
Yeah, you got to catch this stuff, man.
Some of the throws are insane. I'm trying to talk and catch candy. I get credit for that one. That one was hard, and I still made credit.
This is where we need the video stream running. He's about
please.
To throw the whole bowl on you.
Whew. I dropped two. Out of 10, I don't think that's that bad.
From the 913, Drew here. This is the drummer Drew texting in. Guy tried to tell my brother
Drew.
And I how to position and mix speakers for a wedding one time.
Oh, see, that's the worst.
That's terrible.
You're setting that up. Like, I've had people, like, in gold, like you're talking about, like, in a wedding situation. I wouldn't tell someone how to, like, pour a drink. Just, you're doing the job. It's fine with me. Maybe I go stand over there with my wife and be like, I can't believe they put that in there. But I'm not going to say it to your face.
And you know? Even if they do set it up a little weird, it might be on purpose, the reason that,
someone
it, you know.
Someone said this would have been a good lesson for Mark Sanchez when he was mad that guy parked. That would have, by the way, Mark Sanchez,
honestly,
popular Halloween costume tonight.
Oh, I imagine.
Jets jersey with a little ketchup stain. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Little
one
fake plastic knife. You're good to go for
I imagine if you're in New York, the amount of Jets fans rocking that costume.
Oh, totally. You already have the jersey.
I should ask Vinny if he's rocking that one. Is he going to go with that?
I doubt Vinny will.
Seems unlikely.
But if you're a Jets fan, you probably have a Mark Sanchez jersey if you didn't throw it away. I mean, at the time, remember, he was in the AFC
title
game. I mean, Mark Sanchez, there were some good years there. Anyway, that is the random question of the day. Up next, we get to a little fan club brought to you by Jay Rieger & Co. On these days when we're on remote, it's more of a little happy hour, but we'll tell you the cocktail of the weekend, a little Halloween theme, and we go to Buffalo and check in with Mike Shope next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.